Good day, all, and welcome to the Teledyne Pulse podcast, your rural health matters resource. Hear from your colleagues and industry experts on rural health issues and innovative care models that make a difference for rural hospitals, providers, and communities.
Well, Shane, I'm excited that we have a great guest with us today on the Teledyne Pulse. Excited to hear what she has to say and to talk about nursing and the exciting role of the nurse in a telemedicine program. So, Shane?
Yeah, excited to be here, Andy, and with the one and only, the esteemed Rachel Kubalik, and really our manager of partner experience and clinical integration, and arguably, Andy, the most popular person in the entire company, I would say.
Without a doubt.
No, don't you think? I mean, I think that's the case. Yeah, for sure. You know, has done some amazing things with us. And gosh, Rachel, it's been, what has it been now? 7, 8 years?
A little bit over eight years.
I lost track since you said you were only going to be with us for 3 years when you started. So anyway, hey, without further ado, why don't we have Rachel, you do an introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourselves about yourself. And then we will kick off the discussion. I'm excited about this.
Sure. Well, Andy and Shane, thanks so much for having me. It's always great to represent the nursing people out there in the telemedicine world. So my background's always been in nursing, even as a senior in high school, I was working as a CNA at the VA in Grand Island, Nebraska. Went on and got my LPN and worked at Tabitha here in Lincoln for a short time. Went back, got my RN and started at Bryan, gosh, back in 1984, 1985, somewhere in there. Worked in a critical care area for several years and went back and got my BSN and started then with the flight team. I've been with the flight team for about 30-some years, and just shows how old I am. Went back and got my master's degree in nursing and then started on my doctorate degree, still while I was working full-time for the flight team here at Bryan. Some family things happened that I decided that it would be best if I stayed more locally. With that being said, for that biggest reason, I came over to telemedicine thinking that the hours were going to be great, but we know different now. But no, it's been an amazing time. I can say honestly that it has been really nice to see different aspects of nursing throughout the state of Nebraska and now states that surround Nebraska.
Well, that's excellent, and appreciate that, Bregger. I know you bring a wealth of nursing experience and highly, highly, highly respected across all of our clients that you work with, which is most of them that you've had some sort of interaction with, whether it's the physician staff or the nursing staff throughout our entire network. And I think it's, I've said, gosh, for 10 years that as a nurse, of course, the nursing aspect of virtual care is arguably the linchpin in acute care telemedicine programs. And so it has been an extremely vital role for us. And I would say that a large part of our success over the last 10 years has been a result of the significant focus we've placed on nursing. And so, Rachel, I'd like you to expand a little bit on tell us a little bit about what does it mean to clinically integrate, when you approach a nursing team through a workflow strategy or an introduction orientation, et cetera, when we start talking about virtual care, maybe explain a little bit about clinical integration. What do you mean by that?
So anytime we change or disrupt the normal workflow that a nurse might have, it puts a little bit of anxiety into people. As nurses, we like things that are continuously the same. It's sometimes hard for us to change. So I think it's really important, one, to begin like the kickoff call with the site with a really positive attitude, really to incorporate as much as you can their normal routine so there's not a lot of change. So I really look at it as a process, and I like to see how they do things to begin with, and then how can we incorporate that so that it seems seamless and they can stay efficient. It really helps, I think, to have a point person on the site side to kind of be the person that is excited about it, that will help the program be successful. I think that's a crucial step with any kind of program you start with. We have some sites that have dedicated virtual nurses that actually manage everything in the acute care setting from rounding to new consults. And that one person is really extremely helpful because then the physicians know who to go to. That doesn't always happen, especially at night. But if we have a house supervisor or a charge nurse, the telepresenter can be anybody, any nursing staff or healthcare provider on the other side that would present, you know, the patient to the physician or the provider and help with the assessment. So it helps that they have a good, solid clinical background. They have a good idea of technology as well, but they don't have to. Part of my job is to ease them into it and make them feel comfortable on the other side because it is different and there are some anxiety with it. But once they find out that it's not too much different than what they were normally doing, they actually start to like it. And it's so nice to have a provider on the other side that is there to help them at a moment's notice.
Maybe can you elaborate a little bit more on how you work with nurses on engaging, you know, how to present the concept to a patient or how to present the concept to a family that's going to experience a virtual care encounter in an acute care facility?
Sure. I think it's really important to have a positive attitude when you present the concept of telemedicine to the family and to the patient. You know, when we do the go lives, especially in the acute care settings, I try to be there to help a little bit and giving them the nursing staff ideas of how to introduce this concept. I can give you an example. One time I was out at a site and we were going to round on some pulmonary critical patients during the day. So first time rounding with telemedicine at this site. And there was this elderly woman, and I can say elderly because I have a lot of gray hair. And she was sitting up. She was there because she had a saddle PE and she was on a heparin drip. And that just means that she had a blood clot in her lungs. So I went in and I went in with a nurse and said, hi, you know, my name's Rachel. I work with Brian Telemedicine. And you're going to get to see a pulmonologist today out of Lincoln. And we had these bookmarks or Slim Jims, as Dr. Bossard would call them, with the provider's face or picture on it, with a little bio, and I showed it to her, and she said, oh my gosh, he is cute. And she goes, can you hand me my lipstick? And so I handed her her lipstick, and she put it on. Meanwhile, the physician came in on the cart, but it was such a positive thing. He spent a lot of time with her, and it was really good for the staff to see that as well, because then they understood that a relationship can be made virtually, mm-hmm. and they can do a great job. The devices we use have stethoscopes that the provider can hear real-time lung sounds, and as long as the nursing staff in the room can place it directly on the patient's skin. So I work with them a lot like on those kind of concepts, how to stand to the side so the physician can see where you're placing their stethoscope, so when they do their documentation, they can say things like right upper lobe or left upper lobe, you know, and importance of things like not making a lot of noise during the auscultation of lung sounds and direct skin contact. So those are all things that help the telepresenter have a successful encounter with telemedicine and just being really upbeat and positive and supportive of the patient and the provider on the other side.
Yeah, that's excellent. You always do such a great job putting the nurses at ease through that type of education and then subsequently the families. What has changed today in the dialogue? I mean, obviously you've been doing this now for over 8 years when you've engaged these nurses. What maybe share some thoughts on the nurses you engaged eight-ish years ago on this front versus today?
Well, when I first started, we only had one site and that was Neely. And and I love Neely. They're great people there. And I really enjoyed the relationships that we've made there. But it was a tough task at that time getting nurses to buy into the telemedicine concept. The one positive thing that I can think of that really helped is we had great providers that helped put them at ease at the other end. And, you know, encourage them to have dialogue, even if there wasn't a patient there, just so they could establish a relationship between, you know, the providers and the nursing staff. It was a lot of work in the beginning. And we were growing, but not at a very rapid rate during those first few years. But then COVID hit, and then it broke loose with telemedicine nationwide, as everybody knows. And I think if nothing else, COVID taught us that we can do things just as well, just as efficient with telemedicine. And so as COVID is kind of relaxed a little bit and we're not all up in arms about it, we know that we are still growing at a rapid rate and people want telemedicine. And now when we're talking to nursing staff and working with them, they know about it. They're much more at ease with it. They understand that this is the way of the future and it's a little more acceptable now. So I think that's how it's changed, Shane.
Yeah, that's excellent. I know, you know, going back to those early incidents, I remember, you know, in one of the ICUs that we put together in a larger regional hospital where the nurse was pretty resistant initially going in. And then after working with the pulmonologist that closely with some of those patients in the ICU, said she really appreciated that and the assessment involvement that she gets to participate in as a result of that.
Right.
Really found a lot of value in that. So what has been a surprise in terms of working with all of these hospitals over the last 8+ years in this environment? I know even when we first met, even when you were looking at maybe coming to work with us, you were maybe a little skeptical, but what has been your biggest surprise in working with the hospitals and their teams over the years?
I don't know if I'd call it a surprise, but more of a reward is their ability to adjust and make things work. Everybody seems to really put forth their best foot to make this program work. They understand that they would like to keep their patients local for many reasons, but the biggest reason I would say is just to keep the patient where they're close to their family and friends without having to travel to a metropolitan area when they're not used to the traffic or they don't have family here to stay with and they're just kind of out of their element. So I don't know if it was a surprise, but I just think it's just amazing to me how well nurses want to make it better for their patients. They just seem to have a really grasp on this is what's the best for the patient. Now, we're always going to have transfers in and out of a facility. That's a given, especially if there's a procedure or equipment that's not available at the sending site. But I would say 80% of our patients could probably stay at that local site, you know, if they have that specialty person there. The other thing that kind of surprised me is the providers we have been so great to work with. And you know, they just seem to want to bend over backwards. You know, they're always happy because they feel like they get to spend more time with the patient when they're in the telemedicine arena versus if they are rounding at the hospital, they have to hurry, hurry, hurry. And so they spend a lot of time with the patient.
And I think the patients have said that too, that
yeah.
They feel like they get the undivided attention.
Right, yeah.
Right, and I think, you know, the other piece of that, how about from a nursing satisfaction perspective? You know, Rachel, you mentioned how the nurses have definitely, they're inclined to want to do what's best for the patient. They've really bought into the concept of them being a significant piece of keeping more patients in the local facility, keeping them from having to travel long distances in many cases, contributing to a positive financial impact on the hospital and the community. But in terms of nursing satisfaction, job satisfaction, what do you hear from the nurses?
Well, let's back up a little bit. During my course of nursing, I had a PRN job with Philips Cardiac Monitoring. And I would go throughout the United States helping nurses learn how to use the bedside cardiac monitors or the OR cardiac monitors. And what I came to realize out of all that is there's a lot of alarm fatigue out there. Alarms are going off all the time. So anytime you ask a nurse to add additional technology to their workflow, they tend to cringe a little bit. So one of the things that I feel over the years that we've helped to increase nursing satisfaction is we've really looked at a lot of programs, and we have probably the most simplest one right now. It's so easy for the nurses at the bedside to use. And I've had so many comments saying that this is awesome. I don't have to remember a username and password. All I have to do is get a hold of the physician. They come on and see the patient. I don't have to worry about turning anything on. So it's made their job easier by keeping technology simple. And that was one of the goals I took when I took this job is keeping technology simple at the bedside so that nurses can continue to take really great care of their patients. Because that's why we went into nursing in the first place. It wasn't to push buttons and it wasn't to take alarms and make them better or worse. It was really, we just wanted to take care of the patient.
Yeah, perfect. And I think, the other factor too, in terms of the nursing satisfaction, I think that we've seen is a reduction in the threshold for a nurse to call a provider at night. And that kind of gets back to your point, right? Of the providers being so accommodating and welcoming and making sure that they want to be involved in the patient care and answering the questions for the nurses in a timely fashion.
Yeah, sure. I agree. That was one thing. Another thing, I guess, nursing staff is they don't feel like they're waking anybody up in the middle of the night. They know that there's somebody dedicated to them. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't always make the process better by maybe establishing rounding times where the physician actually comes on and talks to the nursing staff to address non-urgent issues, so that we kind of have to be cognizant of our physicians and providers as well and the amount of things they get exposed to as well. So there's always room for improvement, always ways to look at things to make the process better. And that's one thing I really enjoy about my job. It's how do I make it better for people? Because if it's better for people, it's better for the patient.
Well, I know that they certainly appreciate that from you without a doubt, because I know although today it's definitely different, there's still some anxiety and some apprehension in some cases moving into these programs. And you really do such a phenomenal job of reducing that anxiety going into these programs, which is a significant value add for that hospital and that community. What do you think? I know you mentioned some flavor around rewards in the past, but from your perspective, what is the most rewarding aspect in working with these hospitals and in the clients that we do have today?
Well, for me, it's the relationships. I truly enjoy meeting people, and it's more than just a relationship with telemedicine. It's the relationship I provide on a clinical basis. If they need help with a protocol, if they've never heard of a procedure before. For instance, one of our sites was starting to keep some more BiPAP patients, and the nurses weren't used to keeping BiPAP patients, and BiPAP is just an external way of helping somebody breathe. And there's a lot of buttons and a lot of alarms that can go off with that, and it leads to alarm fatigue and nervousness. So what I did then is I arranged for a respiratory therapist to come out and do some education with them. So it's those relationships, knowing that it's just more than telemedicine. It's clinically, I'll be there to help them as well.
Sure. And I know that I've heard time and time again, the nurses feel exactly the same way in terms of the appreciation they have for you and the work that you've done for all of those nursing staffs throughout the Midwest, as far as that's concerned, and the physicians too. And it kind of gets back to your comment of the amazing work being done on the nursing side of the equation for these virtual care programs, because it's a two-way street. We could provide great education, great service, great technology, et cetera, great physicians, but the client site definitely has to be all on board, and they have to be all in to provide great care for their patients. And boy, it's just phenomenal, the work that you do with the nursing teams to kind of bring all of that together to make that a seamless workflow experience for all involved. So definitely on behalf of all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nurses that you've trained over the years, definite appreciation for that.
That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd like to add, Rachel, in terms of experiences that you've had with rural hospitals or larger hospitals, as far as that's concerned with virtual care? We're in so many different sized hospitals. Is there anything that runs sort of in terms of similarities between large and small hospitals?
Well, the process is the same. It's, you have a telemedicine cart, you have telemedicine specialties or hospitalists or advanced practice providers. We use a similar process, whether it's a large facility or a small facility. What's great about it is they're going to get the same great care, whether they're using it at a large facility or a small facility as well. As far as, some of the things that I think that are really awesome out there, an example I can give you is it was one of the first nights that we were doing the critical care pulmonary specialist program at a larger facility. And I happened to be there for Go Live, and I think you were there with me, but I think you were hiding in the corner somewhere, Shane.
I might have been hiding.
Yeah.
That's possible.
But they had a patient come up from the ER that was intubated, which means there's a tube down the trachea that goes into the lungs to help the patient breathe. He was a younger man. He had asthma. It was severe enough that he did require assistance with ventilation. And they could not transfer the patient out, either by ground or by air, because it was super bad ice storm out. So ground wasn't going and aircraft wasn't going, so they had to keep him there. So I went out and I was talking to the hospitalist on, and I said, you know, this is the perfect time to use this program to get a hold of the intensivist to help run the ventilator and to help run the drips. She goes, let's do it. So we got a hold of Dr. Jarrett, who was on that night, and he came on and saw the patient, you know, and made the changes or gave orders for the changes in the ventilator, helped with the drips. He was on several drips as well. And the family was in the room during this whole time. It was a younger couple. They had several small children that were left with one of the grandparents. And they kept him. And not only did they keep him overnight, the weather cleared the next day, but he was improving. So they kept him there for 2 to 3 days, got him extubated, and he was discharged from that facility. Later that evening, the wife came up and she was talking to me, because I always try to get feedback from the family as how things were going. Were they comfortable or satisfied with the care that they were getting? Mm-hmm. And she said, I just want to thank you so much for this, because I didn't have the money to arrange for me to go with him to a larger facility 200 to 300 miles away. So it was a win-win on both situations. So I hear those things pretty frequently. And there's going to be hiccups along the way. That's just a give and take in medicine. But by far, this is a really great program. We offer a lot of specialties, and our providers are top-notch.
That's great, Rachel. We have, dozens and dozens of examples like that. And that's awesome that that happened to be in the middle of being on site for Go Live for that. I don't recall hiding, though, necessarily, but perhaps I was. So Rachel, if I'm a nurse, and one more question for you before we wrap up here, but if I'm a nurse and I'm told, okay, Shane Galley, we're starting a virtual hospitalist program starting here in a couple of months, and we, you know, we need this nursing staff by, but I'm concerned about this. I don't know if this is quite the right standard of care. I'm concerned about quality. I'm concerned about workload issues. I'm concerned about, you know, messing with the technology, those types of things. What would you have to say to me in that scenario or situation?
Well, that does happen every now and then out there in the real world. And for me, it's more just providing some support to them. I like practicing with them so that they get some hands-on. I'm a hands-on person. And I think by far nurses are hands-on. And so if I can get them to come into the training and I can work with them one-on-one, and I can usually pick the ones out of the crowd that are not going to be happy, they don't want to be there, and I can find the ones that are hiding in the corner, Shane, and don't want to open the door. But if I can spend some time with them, just showing them how easy it is and how much, you know, it'll help improve, you know, their care at their facility, and that are going to learn a lot from the physicians and the providers that are caring for the patient. It seems to relax them a little bit. I always tell them it's like FaceTiming with your grandparent or something like that. So it's all HIPAA compliant, because that comes up every now and then too. It's like, how is this? Nothing's being recorded, you know. I always make sure that there's kind of a meet and greet with the providers or one or two of the providers, so they get to know them before the actual go lives. And then it's really important during the go live, especially for the hospitalist program, for me to be on site, you know, for at least one or two of the first nights, not all night, but I'm usually there in the evenings. So that way we can, even if there's no patients there to be attended to, you know, the physician can come on the cart, we can talk to the staff, and he can or she can visit with them and let them know that, you know, if there's any issues, that they're always there and available to them. But you're right, there's always going to be some naysayers at first, but some of those naysayers are the ones that turn out to be the strongest telemedicine advocates if you pursue it down the right corridor.
And that's always fun to see.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy's fully aware of some of those scenarios.
Andy did my job before I came on.
back in the day, we've had all kinds of entertainment over the years in that front. But you're absolutely right.
But I appreciate Rachel's skill at helping the nurses understand this, because I've been there and done that.
Yeah,
for sure. It's definitely an art to be able to take a nurse that's extremely apprehensive for whatever reason. There's a variety of them, but to take those nurses and bring them together and have a program that does amazing things for the hospital and the community. So tribute to you, Rachel, without a doubt, and unequivocally an amazing piece of the organization. And again, on behalf of all the nurses and physicians and our clinical teams and partners, they all think the world of you, and we're blessed to have you on the team. And the patients are they're excited you came to join the team 8+ years ago, because you've helped keep a significant number of patients home when they would have otherwise been transferred. So I want to thank you again for spending some time on the podcast today. Appreciate you and appreciate your contributions to the entire Midwest and all of our states for that matter, in terms of the clinical services we provide. So thank you very much, and looking forward to our next, we're going to have a follow-up podcast. Maybe we'll just do a follow-up podcast.
Maybe a retirement podcast.
A retirement podcast. Yeah.
Well, let's see here, Rachel. We could fire that one up. So that'd be about another 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then we'll see about that.
Well, thank you so much for having. And anytime, I just love representing nurses and helping them take care of patients in the most efficient manner.
We would like to thank you for joining us today. Our promise to you, the listener, you will be inspired or at a minimum find value in the information shared in this podcast. Please offer a comment or offer feedback so that we can improve this podcast and better meet your needs. Please remember to share this podcast with others that you feel may get value out of this by listening. And it's always helpful to subscribe to the podcast channel so that you're aware of future episodes and releases. In addition, if there is a rural health topic you would like to have covered on this podcast, please leave us a comment, or you can send an email to pulse@teledynehealth.com. That's pulse@teledignhealth.com. For more information or general inquiries, please visit teledynehealth.com.